Hello and welcome to White Noise Weekly on the White Noise Podcast. I'm your host, Billy White. That's Seth Judick. This is David Hunter. Let's get out of here. Let's go play Smite, guys.
Play Smite? Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's more important.
It's all
right?
In my imagination. I mean, I can only really imagine how good this game must be. You've asked me, you know, for the past week to get in on and play it, and I haven't even really seen the loading screen yet.
Yeah, I got you a beta code. That took me so much effort. I didn't just Google it and find my IGN.
I was about to say, I mean, just get around to it when you can. I mean, it really is an impressive beta, and, you know, at the very least, it's an interesting game. It's kept us all enthralled for a couple weeks, so.
I mean,
yeah,
I honestly have no idea exactly what it is. Is it a card game, sort of, so to speak? Is it, like, Risk? Is it
card game, yeah.
Is it, like, Yu-Gi-Oh? Is it, like,
Age of Empires?
What is this game?
It's a MOBA, but I will say this. So
think Mario Party meets Portal.
So they have a
Greek gods instead.
They have a daily streak or whatever. For like every day you get on a row, you get a reward. Well, we've played it so many times, I've restarted my streak over, so now I'm on day two again.
I mean, it's a shame. I've just been too busy attempting to reenact Halo while in between also trying to watch Daredevil.
So, David, have you finished Daredevil?
Almost there.
That's where you were a couple weeks ago.
I finished the second to last episode. I haven't finished the last episode yet.
You didn't finish the finale.
Gosh, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. You should have wanted to instantly watch that last one.
I know. I
had to rewatch all of True Detective.
I've just been really compelled to, you know, continue to reenact Halo. I mean, I just can't stop it. It's a horrible. I went and tried to, you know, save Captain Keys the other day. It's just been.
All right,
been horrible.
You have 2 minutes to explain to me why Halo Reach is a good game.
I'll concede whenever I nominate for
Time's
the Hall
up.
Of Fame.
Time's up.
Halo Reach verdict: not a good game.
It's a great game. That's why it's not a good game. It's a great game.
Let's go ahead and explain what the purpose of this podcast is, though.
Okay. So this is kind of a special episode for episode number 9, big milestone. Anyways, we wanted to get this out a little bit before, I guess, the end of June, which is the halfway through the year. But David Hunter, came up with this idea that I really like. It's the Hall of Fame idea. We're making a Hall of Fame for White Noise. And the idea is we want our favorite things in TV shows, movies, video games. We want that in our Hall of Fame to represent not only what we think is the best of each year, but I guess what represents what's the best in our opinion. And the way we're going to do this is every year at the end of the year, we're going to talk about all the best TV shows, all the best movies, and all the best video games. And those three are going to go head to head. And the best, and we always side of those three will enter the hall. So only one thing is going to enter for each year. But at the same time, we have an empty Hall of Fame right now, right? We need to get it filled. So we're going to do the 2014 Hall of Fame here right now. Only in May, not too late. And this probably gives me a chance to talk about all those video games I've been trying to play you guys the last couple years, 2014. But I mean, the last couple months of 2014. But also, we're going to nominate stuff from everything past, like from 2000 to now. We're also going to nominate a bunch of stuff just to fill the Hall of Fame a little bit. So, like I said, we're going to start with just doing... You want to do the historical stuff or 2014 first?
Start with 2014, I suppose. It's a more, you know, more current thing, and then, you know, leave a little morsel out there for more interesting things, such as discussing all the things from 2000 onward for the second half of the show.
Okay, and then okay, also for the historical stuff, we're each going to nominate three things, one movie, one video game, one TV show each. And the way we decide what makes Hall of Fame is pretty much just consensus, right, or majority. So whoever, two out of three will get it in. And if someone hasn't seen it, then it's going to be, or played it, or whatever, then it'll be a really interesting discussion. I haven't quite decided what we're going to do if it's a 1v1, and the third person hasn't seen it, or watched it, or whatever.
I think we just get the other person to sell it.
Sell it.
Be like, hey,
yeah,
tell me why this deserves it. Tell me, like, that's not interesting to me.
We could even go ahead and do, like, the you know, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, where some years maybe three make it, other years maybe no one makes it, and, you know.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
We talked about that. So the idea is, right, whatever gets second place, right, from 2014, which if a TV show wins this year, or for 2014, right, then we then decide is the second best TV show better than the best video game, best movie. Whatever second place will then compete head-to-head with the best of 2015. Mm. So you might actually have two things 2014 get in 2 years in a row. All
right.
And the thing is, like, the way we're doing the historical stuff is we're going to nominate 9 stuff together. None of it could make it. I mean, I imagine, like, a lot of it will, but none of it could. You know, it depends, like, what we think, because this is a very important thing, guys. This represents our beings, who we are.
Less talky, more hockey.
Less talky, more hockey. Right, let's get to the 2014.
Can we never mention the Baseball Hall of Fame ever again on this show?
Oh, yeah, so the slogan, the motto for this Hall of Fame is better than the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Slightly. Period. Slightly. Period. Slightly. Period.
we have a better voting process. We're gonna actually
College Football Hall of Fame up for debate.
College Football Hall of Fame has all the right, like, all the players who make it are deserving, but it doesn't make any sense how they choose the players that make it. Like, it's some complicated, diluted process that doesn't, like, I can't even comprehend.
I put it into my algorithmic calculator, and, you know, the null value came up, so it's not going to come in.
But let's get to 2014. I want to start with video games, because that's my area of expertise.
Sure.
Might as well. 2014 was a big year in video games. The Master Chief Collection came out for David. Destiny came out.
Destiny 2.
Any other games, David, that you played in 2014?
I will abstain in protest from this conversation.
Because Destiny's not the unanimous
Does Destiny Blade of Crota count?
No.
No. Nope, just Destiny. David's Day in Destiny. Yeah, that's what it was.
What
David's
games
year
you play
in Destiny. Well, actually,
what
no, I did play one other game. I played Diablo 3.
That doesn't... I don't know. I'm not going to count Diablo 3 or GTA 5.
It was the best game I played of the year, actually, was Diablo 3.
Well, they both, you know, they both came out technically before last year. You know, they're just kind of remastered, so I'm not going to count either game.
That's fine. I mean, I'm not going to particularly... I think this is a situation where I'm probably going to let you and Seth decide who deserves of being in the Hall of Fame, you know, in terms of video games, in terms of a nomination, because I haven't played really that many video games in 2014, and that's the only fair thing to do.
Neither have I, but I've played enough throughout my career to understand what's good. I read enough to understand, you know, what the general population is kind of thinking.
And I actually played them, so I actually know.
Billy, sure. I mean, just sell me. Just, you know, explain to me what's the best game and why.
Okay, so pretty much the best game is clearly Towerfall Ascension, which I'm not kidding, but I do love that game. Nidhogg. Those two are very fun. It was an interesting year because I don't feel like there's a single elite game from last year, which, like, compared to 2013, where you have The Last of Us, GTA 5, Bioshock Infinite, Fire Emblem Awakening, like, those are all better than every game I think I played this year, right? Some of my favorite games are, like, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Dark Souls 2, which is maybe my least favorite game in the Souls franchise, which is really good still, you know? Shadow of Mordor and Middle Earth, a very fun game, but not, you know, exactly a game you think about in terms of, like, the elite games of the years. So, to me, it kind of comes down to just two games, which is Dragon Age Inquisition and Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8's probably the best Mario Kart game I've played, maybe ever, or at least since Double Dash, because it's kind of hard to really judge nostalgia, and it's really well made. I've spent way too much time playing multiplayer on that game. I have, like, a rank of, like, 6,000 or something. I mean, like, not rank, but, like, a score of 6,000-something. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing it's something about, like, 60, 70 hours gets you that score. That's all I know about that. And then Dragon Age Inquisition is probably my favorite game, that's not a remaster because GTA 5 is amazing, on, you know, the next gen or current gen, whatever you want to call it, Xbox One, PS4. And it's just such an expansive world, and BioWare does such a great job with their RPGs, which you played this game, Seth.
Yeah, I played it, and it's on my list just because it's not as good as Origins, or, you know, it's not BioWare's finest hour, so to speak, but, you know, I'm sure they got in their meeting and bought, you know, Inquisition was, hey, we need to make a good RPG for the next gen, and I think they ultimately delivered. While it's not, you know, an exclusive for the next gen, which probably held it back in some respects, but, you know, it just does everything so well that it set out to do. You know, it could have been better, sure. Is it a masterpiece? Maybe not, but, you know, I think it is kind of, by default, the best game that came out this year, just because, you know, all these other games kind of don't have lasting impacts, and this one kind of does.
It's the only game that I've found
myself. It's not the game I spent the most time playing. So.
Well, that was Hearthstone, right?
Yeah, and that's actually my second one. I'm kind of glad you. I'm kind of glad that you kind of knew where I was coming from. But it's probably doesn't have any hall chances. But Hearthstone is a game that, you know, what it is and what it does better than anything else in the industry. And you know, I was actually playing it this morning. You know, as I was waiting for us to play the podcast. You know, do the podcast. So. It's a game that I'm still playing, and, you know, if Blizzard keeps up with it, I'll probably still be playing, you know, a couple years from now.
You were awake for Hearthstone, but you weren't particularly awake for this podcast? My God. Harris.
I was using Hearthstone to get awake, I guess.
So here's some other games, I guess, from last year that I thought were really great. Like, Far Cry 4 is a lot of fun. Titanfall, even though Seth doesn't like it, I love that. Wolfenstein New Order is probably the best shooter single-player game, FPS single-player campaign I've ever played. In, like, the last, not ever played, but, like, in a while, a long time. It's really good. Super Smash Bros. Wii U, obviously great. I mentioned Towerfall and Nidhogg, Sunset Overdrive, Shovel Knight.
Sunset Overdrive was one that I kind of wrestled with. I haven't played it, but it was one that, you know, in terms of what it represented, and, you know, I think it's a good thing for the industry, and I kind of, you know, wanted to at least give it its props.
It's kind of funny because I love what that game represents. I love the studio Insomniac. You know, Ratchet & Clank was one of my favorite games of the PS2. And then at the same time, you know, it wasn't in my top 10 from last year, even though I love that game. I played it. Actually, it's kind of funny. I had, like, a big test.
It's the anti-Destiny, I guess I should say.
Yeah. I had a big test the next morning, and yet I still played the game at 11 o'clock when it was released digitally. So I still spent, like, 2 hours playing that game when I should have been studying. Mm-hmm. Which tells you that, you know, the appeal of that game. Those games, like, I didn't play everything. I didn't play Bayonetta 2 or Transistor. Transistor, because I didn't have a PS4 yet.
Transistor's interesting. You know, I played it as a PC game, though. So, you know, I don't really have the best authority. But, you know.
It's, I'll put this way. I did not have time to play, because I didn't have a PS4 then. I don't play computer games that often.
PC Master Race, dog.
Yeah, and then Bayonetta 2... I'm sure it's great, but I'm not really into that genre much, and I have a Wii U, but I want to play Bayonetta 1 before I get a Bayonetta 2. I'll probably get into that at some point. And then I guess Child Light, which I have for free on the Xbox One, I haven't touched yet, but I'm going to play at some point.
Dying Light?
How do these Dying Light stack up against Reaper of Souls? That's like my favorite game I've probably played on the Xbox One so far.
I'll put it this way. There's a good argument that Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls is better than everything I just talked about. But I'm not sure. Like, Dragon Age is a very close one with Diablo 3. I love Diablo 3's co-op mode. I beat that game on a heroic mode, which means you can't die with my friends, which just tells you how much I like that game.
Hardcore.
Yeah, a hardcore mode, not heroic. Hardcore mode, yeah. I beat that in hardcore mode, which, like I said, it's a great game. But you know.
Yeah, I think technically it was released. I'm checking right now. I think it was released in 2013.
I mean, Reaper of Souls. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it came out in 2012. Diablo 3.
But I'm saying, like, when did Reaper Souls came out in, like, what, 2013, though?
all the audience is going to hear my clap.
Well, Reaper Souls came out in 2014.
This just proves that this show is live.
Yeah. Like, anyway, I'm just going to say...
It came out in, it was revealed, and it came out March 25th, 2014.
It's we're just not going to count expansions, though, and that's the problem, because you can't really...
I mean, that's fine. I mean, like I said, I abstained from this and put it in your hands.
Yeah,
I'm just curious to see...
It came out for PC March 25th, and then came out for you know, the consoles in August 19th. So it technically does qualify, but, you know.
Like I said, we're not going to do expansions because it's easier that way. I'm just going to say Dragon Age Inquisition gets my vote for this.
Hearthstone gets my vote.
Now, we've talked about Hearthstone 1,000 times. And
no, I said, I'm not going to dispute Dragon Age getting in and Hearthstone not, but, you know, like I said, spiritually I'm not true to myself if I don't nominate Hearthstone.
Well, then I'll do a tiebreaker, and if you think that Dragon Age should get in, and you're just, you know, giving Hearthstone kind of the shout-out in your personal enjoyment, then from the arguments, I guess I will go with Dragon Age.
That's fair.
I've never, on the pod, me and Seth talked about this 1,000 times, and I like Hearthstone a lot. It's a really, really, really good game. It really is. I just don't like the barriers to entry and the fact that I have to play it a ton.
No,
just to get the cards.
It's a lot like, you know, how it's just one of the nuances and quirks of what it is, you know. They want to reward people who stick with it, and the curve
and
to beat
money.
That is still
like
there.
Destiny.
No, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but, you know, if you just stick with it, then, you know, it'll pay off before too long.
I'll put it this way. Smite let me pay for all the gods, you know, whatever, $30 to get every feature one. That is a very reasonable thing. Hearthstone, it costs like $30 to get two wings of Naxxramas.
Yeah, but that's extra content. You're not just paying for cards. And that's kind of how you're looking at it.
But the thing is, there's a bunch of cards you kind of need, though. That's the thing. Like, you kind of need the cards from meta. That's the main issue.
Like I said, Dragon Age is in the hall, so let's go ahead and move on.
Well,
okay.
It's nominated.
Okay. Well, nominated.
Not necessarily in the hall.
So let's get to movies. We've already done the Oscar podcast, which kind of tells you our opinions, but I'm kind of curious how things have changed. And I want to once again nominate Grand Budapest Hotel, which you guys are not going to put in. But, you know, I love that movie. It came on recently, and I sat down and watched, like, most of it. And it's just such an enthralling, enchanting movie that's different from everything else I saw last year. Granted, you can make the same argument about Nightcrawler, but I'm sure you will.
Grand Budapest, you know, I mean, it's I don't want to throw the gimmick label, but, you know, Wes Anderson to me is kind of gimmicky at times, and I do applaud the movie, though, because it does. It tries to implement so many things. It's a murder mystery. It's an adventure. It's a, you know, it's got a lot going for it, and it's really funny. It's light. It's at its heart a really good movie, but, you know, it's, I don't even think it's one of the five best movies I saw last year. So, but that being said, when I'm putting together this list, the first movie I wrote down was the Lego Movie, and I tried to sit there and think what impressed me more than the Lego Movie below it, and I didn't really have an answer. You know, I loved Whiplash. I loved Nightcrawler. I loved Interstellar. But the Lego Movie is the one that I'm going to remember most and probably watch again the most out of the 2014 crop.
You know, I owned the Lego Movie on a Blu-ray pretty much immediately after it came out. I love that movie. It's a great movie. I don't know, like, I in some ways, I think the Lego Movie is slightly overrated now.
Sure.
I don't think it's one of, like, the best, like, animated movies I've seen ever. Anything, you know?
If you get me on the right day, I'll tell you How to Train Your Dragon 2 is better. But, you know, it, like I said, just what it was in terms of in terms of, like, my first experience watching the Lego Movie, I mean, I was, you know, it's just, I got that giddy feeling, you know, and I'm rewarding that feeling more than I am, you know, being an art snob, I guess.
Seth, you're acting like a kid playing with Legos right now.
Yeah.
Literally.
And that's fine, and nothing's wrong with that.
I love being a kid playing with Legos.
No, I mean, it was definitely the best animated movie of the year. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is excellent, but the Lego Movie is funnier. Yes, the Lego Movie is funnier. It's more clever. I think it's more unique, but it doesn't make my top four movies of the year. I mean, Nightcrawler to me, that is my top movie, and really, it takes a step down to all the other ones. I mean, it gave me the feeling of watching a modern day Taxi Driver. Jake Gyllenhaal was sensational. I thought I've already mentioned before, time and time again, he got completely robbed when it was in this without getting an Oscar nom. Followed by that, I mean, it's a step down, and I go Birdman, Whiplash, and Interstellar as my other three movies. That'd be my top four.
So,
but Nightcrawler
is progress,
above those
Seth.
Other ones by a pretty decent step, in my opinion.
I made progress last night, Seth. David finally was like, screw it, I'm going to just... He's not going to do the whole best or favorite separate thing. He's just going with one, and I love it. I made progress.
I mean, even if I personally think that, you know, there's a difference between best and favorite, for this Hall of Fame purposes, I'm going to go with my favorite. You know, I want my favorite thing to go into the White Noise Hall of Fame. And to me, I think Nightcrawler is both the best and my favorite of that year in retrospect. At first, you know, I was very impressed with what Boyhood did over a long period of time. I was impressed with
It took 12 years to make.
Yeah, it took 12 years to make. You know, I was impressed with Birdman's artistic, you know, intent and its artistic design and its execution.
It didn't
execution.
Take 12 years to make, though.
But, yeah, it didn't take 12 years to make, and also
years.
I just don't think it was – I don't think that movie is profound as what Nightcrawler did. And I don't think the performance that Michael Keaton, although is excellent, I like Jake Gyllenhaal's more. I think the direction on Nightcrawler is pretty similar. It's actually a very high-quality direction in that film compared to the Birdman even. I think that it's not quite as well-directed as Birdman, but I think that it's a film that stacks up with that. And with its other qualities, I think it exceeds what Birdman did.
It's definitely the most original Nightcrawler, and one of the more unique movies I've seen in a long time. Like, that is the movie where I don't know how it didn't win Best Original Screenplay, all things considered.
And I love what it did with the media. I think Gone Girl gets a lot of credit for what it did with its execution and message about the media. But I think that Nightcrawler does something that's just as powerful and just as interesting, in my opinion.
As the one guy here who works in the media, it takes a couple liberties to make things more scintillating that aren't necessarily true, but, you know, at the root of it, it's very, very real. You know, the quest for ratings is very real, and, you know, we were kind of talking off-air about, you know, the trend that TV is headed, you know, stuff like Big Bang Theory. The bottom line is important in news industries, and, you know, and granted,
yeah,
that's not even the most interesting meat and potatoes of Nightcrawler, but even then, you know, I still got to look at, like, Whiplash and, you know, or you know, even the Lego Movie, but more so Whiplash in terms of, you know, a movie that I had much more fun watching. That's not to say Nightcrawler was bad, but I just thought Whiplash was better as a movie.
I mean, I think overall, I think collectively we're probably going to decide that Whiplash, you know, in terms of our holistic, consensus here, is probably going to get the nod for the representation of the movies, just because I think we all hold it in high regard equally.
Well,
Nightcrawler for me might be, you know, I think the best movie of the year. I'm not sure if y'all maybe feel about it the same way as I do.
We'll see a couple years from now. Just because, you know, Taxi Driver didn't get nominated, didn't win anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more along the lines of, you know, that was kind of a weird movie. Then, you know, he goes on to do Raging Bull. And then all of a sudden, wow, look at this De Niro guy is serious. And then they look at Taxi Driver with different lenses. So that's the thing. That's kind of the thing with Nightcrawler is I want to see what Jake Gyllenhaal does next.
And also what Tony Gilroy, I believe that's the director of the film.
Southpaw, which is going to be a Weinstein movie. So, I mean, it's going to be an Oscar nominee without even doing anything.
And I thought what Gyllenhaal did with Prisoners, you know, a year or two before, I thought was incredible, too. I know even if you don't care for that movie, I think that Jake Gyllenhaal's performance in that definitely stood out to me.
And Gyllenhaal's ascending. You know, this might be the springboard. It might be just another step. We'll see, though.
So, actually, Dave, I don't want you to jump ahead too quickly on the Whiplash over Nightcrawler. And by the way, Seth, I've done a lot of stuff with, like, you know, the journal paper or whatever, and I'm constantly on Twitter watching media reactions. And, no, it's totally a real thing, and I do love, you know, applaud what movies like Nightcrawler and Gone Girl do, because I kind of hate the media right now, which makes me David Simon for season 5 of The Wire right now.
No, and like I said, admiration for Gyllenhaal is there, and it's legitimately there. But, you know, like I said, I mean, just because of Brokeback Mountain, the movie whose name I forget that he did with Anne Hathaway a couple of years ago, I mean, he's...
Love and Other Drugs or Crazy Stupid Love, one of those two?
No, Crazy Stupid Love was a Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, Steve Carell. Great movie, by the way.
He was in The Day After Tomorrow, guys.
Oh, God. Oh, disaster porn.
Global
Has anyone seen the trailer for San Andreas? Because that looks like total disaster porn. I saw it again last night.
I'll probably watch it just because I want, you know, I support The Rock. But
oh, yeah. The Rock's great, man. The Rock has so much charisma.
He cannot make that movie good. It's going to be just generic as hell.
It's a movie that was made on a computer.
I can't wait until, like, a couple of years from now, The Rock does, like, some super serious role and, like, beats out, you know, Meryl Streep and... Well, not Meryl Streep, but you know what I mean. Like Michael
Keaton. You know, like Leonardo DiCaprio again.
Doing his Scorsese film, I mean. And, like, The Rock is there. Smiling with, like, tats from head to toe.
I'm pretty sure Leonardo DiCaprio played, like, 7 different roles in the same movie, each one more complex than the next. He still would lose out.
I liked Wolf of Wall Street a lot. You know, just to kind of throw that in there.
It's my best of 2013. I mean, in my retrospect, it is.
Yeah, it's 2013. That was... I'm kind of with you there. I wasn't sure for a while because it is so long, but it's so good. Let's get to the, you know, a little more back to what we're doing. It's pretty much Nightcrawler versus Whiplash. That was my second and third best movie from last year. Do you have a big divide between the two, Seth?
Well, Whiplash is technically ahead, but I've got Interstellar above both of them. In terms of, like I said, just because I like that.
I'll put it this way. I'm not going to bump Interstellar over those two.
I'm happy to hear this because I love Interstellar.
I'm leaning heavily towards Whiplash just because, you know, I'm not sure 100% what to make of Nightcrawler, even still. But, you know, Whiplash was a great movie.
I think, you're right. Nightcrawler may be more iconic, but right now I can't say I enjoyed that movie more than Whiplash, which is probably... I just love the message that Whiplash has, too.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's, like, it's kind of something in the way the world's evolving and the way we kind of treat, you know, incidents like that, it's just kind of a plottable movie.
Yeah, and you know, it's not even just a music thing. It's very, very relevant to, you know, regardless of your profession, you know, what would you do to be great? I mean, it's, you know, it speaks to you on a lot of levels, and really it unravels that question, right? What would you do to be great? Or what would you do to bring greatness out in other people? It's just kind of really a fascinating character study, so to speak.
I mean, the performance by Simmons is just, you know, it's incredible.
Teller does great.
So is Teller. Teller also.
Much like Gyllenhaal, probably belonged to have a best best actor nom, but that category was so stacked.
It was so stacked.
Like, I made the joke. It was like Oyelowo, Gyllenhaal, Tatum... And Teller. And that's the people who didn't make it.
And Redmayne.
Redmayne won it, though.
Oh, yeah, Redmayne won. I thought you were just
saying everybody was in it. What's his name? Ralph Nies?
Ralph Fiennes, I think.
Fiennes. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah,
Rafe,
he was excellent.
Like Rafe. The first name
McConaughey was very good,
too. Yeah,
Rafe,
yeah.
And Interstellar, he was excellent in that, too, I thought.
But it didn't take 12 years to make, David.
No, it didn't make 12 years to make. It might have made $12 billion to make, but you know, not 12 years.
So, like I said, Interstellar, great movie. I can't, obviously, because of the ending and a couple other reasons, I cannot push it through. So let's just, I guess we'll just try to say Whiplash and Nightcrawler. I'm guessing it'd be Whiplash, because I would go Whiplash barely.
Whiplash is mine, but, you know, Nightcrawler deserves to be mentioned.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
it's a strong second place consideration.
I'll stick to I'm sticking to my guns. I'm going to go Nightcrawler, but Whiplash is, you know, equally, it's deserving. Whiplash is very much deserving of a nomination.
Of course, maybe we'll do a, you know, an honorary inductee to Lego Movie later, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so for Game of Dragons Inquisition, for the movie, we have Whiplash, and now it's a TV series. Apparently, before we get to yours and mine, David, which are very predictable, Seth has something from left field.
Well, I'll go ahead and give you my top five. You know, five I've got, and this is, I watched a lot of TV last year, guys. It's unreal how much TV I watched last year. And, you know, I kept up with more series than I have before, and all of this while managing to get my college degree.
I just want you to know that if you say The Walking Dead, I'm ending the podcast right now.
Five, I've got The Flash Season 1. Just a really great start for, you know, what it is. And maybe it's a B or even C level entertainment. You know, it's on the CW, so it's handicapped with certain things. But The Flash was great, guys. I mean, it was just a load of fun. And, you know, you don't have to get...
Is it a 22-episode season?
It is a 22-episode season.
That's kind of my main problem, like, CW shows. I don't want to watch 22-episode seasons anymore
To be fair, I was more sitting there going, wow, I'm so glad it's 22 episodes because I get to keep watching it. And granted, it didn't deliver nines and tens week after week, but the season finale, and this might be a part of the reason why, the season finale aired a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. So, but either way, that's five. Four, I've got The Legend of Korra Season 4. That's more a Lifetime Achievement Award, just because the fourth season was the last season of Legend of Korra, and that was such a bold show that I think so many people dismissed and might have gone under the radar a lot.
I told you this. I watched the first season because I love Avatar: Last Airbender. I watched first season of Korra. Loved the first season of Korra. For whatever reason, I guess because of college, I don't really know why, I just thought I didn't watch it anymore, because mostly because Nintendo's kind of a weird one to find, like, the episode.
It was Nick.
Not Nintendo, Nickelodeon.
Well,
kind of weird to find
there was also a lot of contract disputes with Legend of Korra, to where it wasn't airing online, but was airing on television, then it changed and wasn't airing on television and wasn't airing online. It's kind of sad how inaccessible it is right now, but, I mean, if you can get your hands on it, it's a great show.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong, I can find it. You know me.
As someone who's venturing into exploring more animes, you know, in terms of a medium of appreciation,
I think it's a little unfair to call it an anime because, you know,
it's an American cartoon, right?
It's more anime influenced than it is, you know, an anime.
I liked it so much. But keep moving on, Seth.
Yeah, and that's one I just need to mention it because it was great, and it technically ended in 2014.
Which, by the way, for the audience listeners, Seth's kind of the biggest TV guy in a way. Dave is the biggest movie guy, and I'm the biggest video game guy, which kind of makes a unique dynamic.
Yeah, but we all wear a lot of hats when it comes to, you know, party time.
Right,
number three.
Number three, I've got Louis Season 4. I was telling David before we got on air that what some of the things that Louis does this past season – just great, you know, pure greatness. Maybe historically great, in terms of just pushing the medium to its max, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And that being said, I've got two things ahead of it. That just shows you how much, you know, how highly I hold these next two things. And True Detective Season 1, bringing a filmmaker's mentality to the television was something that you know, it really exceeded. We can kind of make arguments about, you know, whether or not the show would have been the same with you know, if Harrison, you know, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey didn't put their name to it.
But they were.
But they did, and, you know, don't apologize for your circumstances. It was a great movie and succeeded on a lot of fronts. And, you know, I'm with you guys and very excited for season two. That's one I've got too. And that being said, in 2014, the first half of Mad Men's final season aired, and it was fantastic, and really almost as a lifetime achievement for the whole show. The second half of the season aired this, you know, just a couple days ago, or a couple weeks ago even. But Mad Men season 7.1, I guess, is what I have written down, was something
so,
that
Seth,
I wanted to mention.
I noticed you don't have Game of Thrones Season 4, the best season of Game of Thrones, on your list at all.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, these five things that I did are just kind of more unconventional, I guess.
Oh, so essentially, I'm not going to talk to you about Game of Thrones anymore or ever respect your opinion again. That's good to know.
Well, it's the kind of, it's the kind of thing that, I mean, I watched it, and it's probably a really close six, but these are just things that, you know...
I will not believe for a second The Flash is better than Game of Thrones.
I enjoyed it more than I watched in Game of Thrones.
Well, Game of Thrones isn't really enjoyable a lot of times. I will say that. But honestly, like, a lot of shows aren't. Breaking Bad's not enjoyable a lot of times.
Yeah. And look, that's... We can call this a glorious omission, just, you know, being short-sighted, because I...
Well, David, you win. Congratulations. True Detective wins.
Well, can we get... Let's keep talking. I want to hear Billy's list.
I mean... Game of Thrones is great, and obviously it belongs there, but I was just, you know, I figured you guys were going to nominate it. I don't need to bring it up and sing its praises.
No, Seth, what we need to do is what comes down to it, right? It's going to be a consensus pick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about what you're nominating, it's about whether True Detective
All right.
or Game of Thrones
well, then,
or went out here.
I'd probably put it over The Flash, but not over Legend of Korra.
Okay. In that case, True Detective's going to win out. I'll just sing Game of Thrones praises real quick. Game of Thrones Season 4 is an accumulation of pretty much all the best storylines, in my opinion, of Game of Thrones. Like, you talk about what you want about the Red Wedding, but pretty much everything from the first three seasons really does lead into Season 4. And you have so many great moments between, like, the fight with the Mountain Red Viper, the Hound wanting more chicken, you know, the very beginning of episode Season 1, you know, the courtroom scene, which is some of the best acting I've ever seen on a TV show from Peter Dinklage. And then finally, you have the final scene with, you know, Tyrion and Tywin. I think Game of Thrones Season 4 was finally the dialogue was very sophisticated. The politics were almost interesting. The action was kind of top notch. I mean, even like the spectacle of the Watchers on the Wall, the ninth episode, was pretty much incredible. You don't get that on any other TV show. And Game of Thrones Season 4 really looks at what is the peak and the best of what Game of Thrones brings.
Yeah.
And I'm very disappointed, Seth.
Maybe I'm a little jaded right now because I've exhausted, you know, much oxygen to say how depressed I was after the mountain fight in particular. And that, while in retrospect was something that was great at the time, I thought it was something that was bad for the show.
Now, let me tell you why... Okay,
no, you don't need to tell me why. I understand.
Oh, no. Let me tell you why True Detective should not be chosen over Game of Thrones before David will sing its praise, okay? True Detective is four episodes that are phenomenal and four episodes that are not phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of starts out a little slow. Really, the first three episodes did not really hook me in. Once I saw episode four, like I said, I watched the first three episodes over the course of like a week almost, you know, and then I watched the next five episodes in like 2 days because it really did hook me in once I got to episode four. The final tracking shot's amazing, but the first three really weren't the best, and the sixth episode really was a bummer considering the momentum that episode four and five built up. And even episode seven wasn't like even close to the level of like four or five or eight, in my opinion. It was just very good. They're like more Game of Thrones. Not only is a 10-episode season, but it doesn't lag the way at all that True Detective did a couple different times. And say what you want about cinematography and the acting, but it doesn't make something great just because cinematography and acting. I love True Detective, but I love half of True Detective.
To me, I disagree on most of what you said, except I will say that episode six is kind of a bummer of an episode compared to the rest of the show. I think that's where they get too conventional. That's probably one of the worst. That's probably the show's lowest moment, and it kind of comes at a poor time in the show's airing.
If I may interject really quick, I actually liked that it did a by the book episode because, you know, it kind of advertised itself as that. And it was nice that they came in and said, hey, you know, this is what we can do. We can do that better than everyone else, too. It's kind of the way
I interpreted it. It wasn't a very good episode.
And I feel like, I mean, I think that it just kind of came at a poor time simply because I think episode five, The Secret Fate of All Life, is one of the two best television episodes of all time. And I think I will say that confidently. I think Secret Fate of All Life is excellent.
Let's see if we're still talking about it, but yeah.
I think I will. I'm almost certain. I mean, it's powerful. It comes after an episode four where the expectations were just super high because of that awesome tracking shot scene that happened, the long cut that's kind of legendary at this moment. And I think the show, with its dialogue that's kind of, I guess, unconventional in television nowadays, I think that is, along with the cinematography, which is excellent, the direction, which is, you know, film quality direction, and Game of Thrones is that way too, but I think True Detective is even more cinematic in terms of the way it's shot. But I have Game of Thrones Season 4 in high regard too, Billy. I think it's one of the two best seasons of Game of Thrones. I like Season 1 maybe a little bit better, but I think Season 4...
You like Season 2 originally.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I kind of flip flop on all three on all three of those, just because I think they're all three excellent, and I really do hold the show in high regard, even if I'm not as passionate about it as I am some of the other television shows. And I have it number two on my list. Fargo, I have it number three, and that's a show I want to give a mention because I think it was excellent. And I think it kind of goes under the radar here, but the acting was top notch, and really, maybe in retrospect when we revisit it in a while, it might actually be the best show of the year. I don't know. Have you even seen Fargo? I don't think anyone here besides me.
I haven't seen Fargo, and I'm pretty sure I'd like it more than True Detective, honestly, because it just seems like it's something I'm going to love.
It's a great black comedy. I mean, it has more humor than True Detective, but it also gets really dark, and the drama is executed really well, too. And it really has the feel of the movie, which I really like the movie Fargo. And then number four, Silicon Valley, the first season. Very good show, very fun comedy. I laughed a lot. And then number five,
season one, I don't know, man.
The finale's
like great, but I'm not sure if I, in terms of being great, if it's in the same category as some of these things we've mentioned.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch as much television as you did. I didn't see Flash. And,
no one did.
I liked it more than House of Cards season two.
Oh gosh.
Yes, House of Cards season two. Real quick, the Game of Thrones. Yeah, first episode, obviously the ending. You had the Joffrey die of the second one. The third episode had the
Joffrey wasn't a great villain, so it was kind of, you know.
Nice, oh, true.
Sure,
yeah. I was like, you know, like it's.
Yeah, screw that kid. Episode, he sucked. Terrible actor. Terrible writing. Throw him. Flush him down the toilet.
Every episode was great. That's my last argument. Every episode was great. Like I said, True Detective. Not every episode was great. That's my final argument. It's a losing cause, and I love True Detective, so I'm really just being bitter about that.
Nope.
And I mean, you're going to have
a very strong chance. You talked me into it, but, you know, I mean, I still, you know, am not a what I'd call a Game of Thrones apologist, I guess. But either way, I mean.
I'm not being an apologist. I'm just the only one being rational here.
No, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I've gone too deep, man. I got to stick with my guns.
All right, well, I'm fine with True Detective. I have no problem with that.
Good, good, good. And I'm fine with Game of Thrones being my
David's not gonna riot now.
So it's a business decision, so he doesn't riot.
Well, I mean, no, it's not my choice. You're gonna choose True Detective over Game of Thrones. So that's just what it comes down to.
Oh, so I'm the swing vote.
This is the swing vote. You've already made your decision.
You're the one who's gonna riot, Billy. You're the one who's
I don't wanna flip flop.
I mean, it's not about flip-flopping. It's about what you think your actual opinion is. But no, the thing is, David told me yesterday he'd quit the show if True Detective didn't get in.
I didn't say that.
He's not going to quit the show.
I said that along with Jurassic Park, consider Jurassic Park, and along with you not voting in Halo 2.
Why would you consider?
I was like, you're going to kill me.
What do you say, Seth?
No, go ahead. Go on. We've decided. So we've got the movie, we've got the game, we've got the show.
All right, so now the question is, what's the best of these three? True Detective, Whiplash, and Dragon's Inquisition.
Probably Whiplash.
What's your thought, David?
Well, since I said that, I don't think Whiplash is the best movie I saw of the year. And I think True Detective is the best television show. And I think that True Detective is on equal grounds with the best movie I saw of the year. And I didn't play the video game. So I'm going to go with True Detective.
Well, as the two guys who played the video game, I think I'm just going to guess. I don't think Billy's going to pick Dragon Age.
And I mean, I feel like, and I feel, and honestly, I feel like the second best TV show that I saw the year is better than Whiplash also. So I think that I would say, in order of these things, I would go True Detective, Game of Thrones, and then Whiplash. That's how I feel, at least.
It's tough for me, because I'm with you, Seth. I don't think Dragon Age Inquisition is necessarily better. But the thing is, I don't like any of these choices, honestly. Makes me not happy. I don't really have a great choice. Like, I don't have a choice that makes me feel passionate of the three. Whiplash is probably the one I like the most, honestly. True Detective is going to be the most iconic. I'm going to think about True Detective more probably over the years. And Dragon Age was a great experience.
Absolutely. I don't want Whiplash to be in the Hall of Fame is the main thing for me, because I don't think it's a masterpiece of filmmaking.
That
I think
kind of breaks
for me
heart,
personally,
okay.
I mean, I'm not going to gripe about it on the podcast. I'll gripe about it off the podcast.
It's so hard to compare this is a short movie. This is an hour and a half movie to an 8-episode TV show. And honestly, the hour of, you know, Secret Fate of All Life is better. Like, that singular episode is better. And if you set episode 4 next to it, those two episodes combined are maybe better than Whiplash, and then you have the rest of the episodes. And that's why TV, to me, is going to have a big advantage, I think, a lot of times, unless the movie is, like, a, you know, like Mad Max Fury Road, for example. Mashpeace movie.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be tougher for me if it was Nightcrawler in there against True Detective. But it's not. Whiplash is a great film, and it is a really, it's a great film, and it's an enjoyable film to watch, and I'll watch it again, but it's not a movie I'm going to hold in, I guess, extremely high regard and think about that much a few years from now, personally for me. I know that, you know, Seth and you might feel differently, but
I mean,
me, that's why I'm going to go True
Detective.
I liked
it, but, you know, I mean,
True Detective is something that, to me, is the, to me, it's one of the best first seasons of television I've ever seen, for me.
Oh, and I didn't even mention Better Call Saul.
I mean, that was, that's 2015.
Cool. I'd feel less bad about not mentioning Better Call Saul.
I mean, it's something that's going to be mentioned probably at the end of the year when we look
Better
at the
Call
best
Saul.
Television.
I was about to say, True Detective season one isn't the best first season of television I've seen because Better Call Saul is, but I digress.
I just, I don't know. It makes me kind of sad because, like, I feel like a lot of these nominees we have here, I would not pick over the 2015 counterpart in a weird sort of way, even though True Detective probably makes me feel the best of the three. Even though
so
I'm not super
is that, I think
and it'll be a hell of a poster.
Just so we can get to the second half, is that the one that we want to go ahead and, you know, put in?
Yeah, I'm fine with True Detective. I would actually, I'm with David. I would go True Detective. If Game of Thrones cannot be first, I'll go True Detective then Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I love then, Whiplash, but in terms of, you know, in its, I'll buy the argument in terms of achievement relative to its field. Whiplash isn't the same achievement to movies that True Detective is to television.
And then right, how about we vote on who's going to be the second place to carry over
so,
to 2015?
I would take Game of Thrones.
Billy's talked me into it. I'd probably go Game of Thrones as well.
So Game of Thrones will be the representative in 2015.
As much as I loved Louis and Mad Men, but yes.
And remember, it's Game of Thrones season four
right,
is the nominee, not this.
We're not going to remember this season, which isn't remotely as good, in my opinion.
I don't know. Right, last week's episode was a good step, but
it was better. It was better. It was also like, let's take seven episodes to get, like, the Tyrion storyline, just like the first six episodes dragged on, and then they rushed from six to seven, which I thought
we'll,
I just
we'll
don't
do,
think
we'll
it's
do
the
do
same
the,
quality.
We'll
as.
Do the daily later and talk about that, I guess,
right,
in
right.
more detail.
All right, so anyways, historical, this is going to be a little fun. Like I said, we're each going to nominate three things, one movie, one TV show, one movie game, and like I said, it's pretty much if two of us pick it, it'll go in. If one of us hasn't seen it or watched whatever, and the other one disagrees, and you're pretty much selling it to the person who has not seen it. And I'll let you go first, Seth. I'm kind of curious to see what you're going to choose.
So for video games or shows or movies first?
Any of them. What you're feeling.
We'll go show first. I've got four names written down. And, you know, I guess the criteria was, you know, released after 2000. First disclosure, I didn't have Breaking Bad in here because I kind of understood that that was just going to be auto-locked in without my vote. And I wouldn't disagree. But the four shows that I have written down, I've got Community Season 3.
Awesome.
I got Friday Night Lights entirety.
I love you right now, Seth.
I've got Parks and Rec, which is, you know, I kind of talked to David about this, you know.
It's a great comedy.
In the group me. It's take what's good about The Office and then add, you know, an optimism and just, you know, a pure – it's just a great show in terms, you know, symbolically
three
and actually
currently awesome three currently awesome actors.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, you know, you look at the albums of that show. Aubrey Plaza, who might not, you know, flirt with that much thing, she's great. You know, Chris Pratt's the most billable leading man in the business right now. You know, it's Amy Poehler. This is more, you know, this is more her peak right now, but she's great. I mean, just the amount of talent that's on that right now is just, you know, and it just ended is great. And so I had to mention it because I don't think we'll see another comedy like it for a couple of years.
And then what's the fourth
one? And the fourth one, I've got Firefly.
Ooh, love Firefly.
That's a good choice. I'm curious to see which one you choose of the four.
It's probably going to be Parks and Rec for all the reasons I just mentioned. I love Friday Night Lights. And again, it just assume that Breaking Bad Season 5 is above all these. But, you know, I wanted to be different. I wanted to promote some discussion. Like I said, Parks and Rec is the best comedy, and we probably won't see one better.
So give me, like, a singular season you would, like, be nominated
for. A singular season? It's so strange because it's a show that's spent its whole career sanding the edges. season three is basically when it all starts happening. You know, that's when Rob Lowe's introduced. That's when Adam Scott's introduced. That's when it's really operating at full capacity.
Which Ben Wyatt may be my favorite character.
Yeah, he's great. He's just great. And I think I'd say season 3 while noting that seasons 4 and 5 are better.
Well, luckily for you, I've seen a good amount of season 3, and I can just go ahead and just push it in then. I'm fine with it, because, like I said, I mean, like, there's so many good episodes in season 3. I like the Time Caps episode a lot. Andy and April episode later on. The Road Trip's one of the best episodes, I think, of the show. Little Sebastian.
And I'll, just as for conventionalism's sake, yes, I'm going to say yes to this, because it's a great comedy show, and I've seen 2.5 seasons of it so far. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I can definitely see why everyone's, you know, cheering on this train, and you guys hold it in very high regard, and I trust your opinions on this. And it's a very funny show, and like you said, the legacy of the show is probably even stronger than what the show actually was.
Like I said,
the legacy of the actors, the legacy of what it did, being one of the few optimistic comedies we have right now. If I think of all the comedies I watch and what I laugh at, it's all very pessimistic and it's kind of a downer. And this show is kind of breaks that trend, so to speak.
Like I say, a lot of it's because of Michael Schur being the showrunner. It gets compared a lot to The Office, and I've seen The Office. You know, I watched The Office many summers ago. this is one that I just feel better about, you know.
And outside of Ron Burgundy, is there a character who's more referenced in popular culture nowadays than Ron Swanson? In terms of quotes by people that I know.
I want that poster of the Pyramid of Greatness. I really do.
I mean,
that'd be a good one to choose.
I imagine that's the one. Yeah, that's the one we'd have, right?
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned this yet. Whatever is in the Hall of Fame gets a poster. All right, so David, give us a movie or a video game.
Movie or video game? I'm gonna go with the video game first, and I'm gonna go with Super Smash Bros. Melee. I wanted to go with Halo 2, but I know that Billy will not vote this one in, and I want to get something in there that everyone's going to enjoy and want to be in the Hall of Fame on my first.
Basically,
go-around.
You're gonna make Billy the villain when we don't put it in.
Yes, exactly.
Well, first of all, why put the, you know, not the best Halo game in there? Saying, this guy is the only one I haven't played. I told David I will play the entirety of Halo 2 last night just so I could say no if he wants to.
Well, I'm going to I was thinking between Super Smash Bros. Melee, Shadow of the Colossus, BioShock, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and Halo 2.
Shadow of the Colossus is an interesting one.
And I went
would put all those in easy.
And I decided to go Super Smash Bros. Melee because it's the one I enjoyed the most outside of Halo 2. And I have a lot of great childhood memories playing this game. And I thought it was the best of the Super Smash Bros. Series. And probably the best game I played on the GameCube.
Well, you don't need to make any arguments to me. This
yeah, I mean,
that's...
It's kind
Every
of
glorious.
They had the excellent event mode, which is something that kind of disappeared a little
I
in a little
of
bit of a regard. And I thought that was probably the best aspect I've played of Super Smash Bros. Games.
So I have a question. There's two questions. Okay? Who did you beat Master Hand and Crazy Hand with, and who did you beat Giga Bowser with? Because I beat Giga Bowser with Kirby, which is my go-to back on Melee, even though he was terrible in Melee. But I actually beat Master Hand and Crazy Hand because I abused Captain Falcon's up kicks.
Well,
I did it with Jigglypuff
as both, so...
I went with Mewtwo and Pikachu.
Manly
and
man.
Those were my three guys that I always played as.
The right. Event match 51, I kind of cheesed with Jigglypuff and then, you know, realized I was actually kind of good as Jigglypuff.
All right, so that's an easy lock-in. I can't wait to see the poster. Really, we don't really discuss that one. That's an easy choice, I think, which gives me to a movie. So I have before I decide, I don't want to choose something that neither of you have seen. So, Seth, have you seen Almost Famous?
Almost Famous? No.
Ah, that sucks, because that's probably maybe my favorite movie since 2000, but I'm not going to nominate because, you know, which, David, this brings me to it. So what do you think I'm going to nominate, David?
I think you're going to nominate, No Country for Old Men or The Social Network, and I'll go with No Country for Old Men.
Well, I decide not to do either of those.
What?
I decide that what do I want the poster to be? What do I want in our hall? And I'm actually doing something, I didn't consider this at first, because it's kind of a trilogy. But why wouldn't we have Lord of the Rings in our Hall of Fame?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And I hope we go with Fellowship. Fellowship of the Ring is my favorite.
Fellowship of the Ring is the one I'm going to nominate, because that's probably my favorite three, even the Return of the King.
Which is funny, because it's the only one that didn't get Oscar nom, I don't think.
Exactly. And I think it's the best one.
Like, yeah, it's the fantasy genre just started, people attended. Like, that's probably my favorite. It's the one I've seen the most. And it's not that the other two aren't phenomenal, because they are phenomenal. But it's the one I'll go back and watch the most, I guess. The one that makes me feel the best. The one that has, like, the most moments I can remember. And
which
I've
is
seen,
funny,
like,
because I recently watched the trilogy, and I'm thinking to myself, Return of the King is the best one. Then I watched it, and it's just so maudlin. I mean, I don't know.
It's not excessive. Like
Fellowship
his other movies
of the
kind
Ring
of get.
Is the one that I have the most fun watching these days.
Yeah, Peter Jackson kind of has a habit of being excessive on things. I don't know if we've noticed that with the lengths of his film, with the battles you see like towards the end of his films that he got into. I mean, King Kong, and I think Fellowship of the Ring is surprisingly his most, I guess, restrained of the Lord of the Rings films, but I think it has the most impact on me emotionally and just in, from an entertainment standpoint. I just enjoy that film a lot more than the other two.
I've seen the, we have the extended edition. I've seen all the movies, you know, multiple times now. I know, you're right. And also, you know, Sean Bean dies in this movie. That's,
I know.
That's important.
That's important.
That's an important characteristic of all great things.
Yeah, exactly.
And it gave us one of the best memes of all time.
Yes, it did.
You know, Simply Walk at the Border. So, like I said, that's my nominee. And like I said, it's for, you can pretty much make the argument it's kind of the placeholder for the entire trilogy, but I'm choosing Fellowship. What say you guys?
I say
what
yes.
What say you?
I think that's deserving.
Yeah, I agree.
And my axe.
So I will say though, one thing I think is really awesome about Two Towers though is the, and it's probably the best singular battle.
Yeah,
song
Helm's
Deep
is great.
Helm's Deep is
it's
the
raining,
like it's the singular.
It's
yeah.
just it's just awesome, man. It's just awesome.
14, 15, 16. As like just it's ridiculous. Him and Legolas, Gamelin and Legolas going back and forth trying to see who gets the most kills.
Yeah,
and even
though
then, that
even
is restrained compared.
Even though the Battle of Azeroth is technically bigger and everything, I still watch Twin Tower, you know, Two Towers because Twin Towers. Oh boy,
we got to do a censorship here.
I still watch Two Towers just for that Helm's Deep battle alone because it's just so great.
All right, so I don't want to do the obvious video game choice for mine last. So, Seth, give us a movie.
Give us a movie? Well, I have two. And one I know that you guys are going to back me up on. The other, I'm not even sure if you've seen it. First off, I'll start with the one that I think that we can probably shoe in. The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Wow.
I think that we can...
Wait. Time out. I thought this isn't even his favorite Batman movie.
It isn't, but it's, you know, it belongs in the hall, don't you think? It's the placeholder for the trilogy, even though I wish the last one never happened and the first one's awesome. So,
I'm with you. I love that movie. It's one of my five favorite movies since probably 2000. It's just I'm confused. But I guess that's not important. I'm happy. I shouldn't question this. But what's the other movie?
The other movie is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. You know, I guess there's gateway drugs for people. I guess for video games, everyone's played a Legend of Zelda game, and that's what gets them into the rest of it. You know, and for that, and for movies, the first movie that I stopped by, you know, I stepped away from and was like, I need this feeling again, was a Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It was just one that I walked in with zero expectations, walked out mind blown, and it's just so great. I mean, it's a fantastic movie. Chris Evans is in it. You know, Michael Cera is, you know, at his peak awkwardness. and it's just, you know, it's just a great time. And Anna Kendrick is in it, and she's awesome. And I, you know what, I want Anna Kendrick in my life, so.
Well, I'll put it this way. I watched that movie. It has some great scenes. I love the whole band fighting the guys with their little, like, little soundboards or whatever. You know, the dragons versus the giant gorilla was awesome. You know, display of anime. It's a very fascinating movie, the concept of how it's done from the graphic novels. I like it a lot, but I don't love it.
Like I said, it's... I can understand where you're coming from, but I mean it was great. I mean I rewatch it all the time. I still laugh. I find things in it that I didn't see before. It's that kind of movie, and it almost rewards.
How cool
does
the poster look?
But that's something you gotta consider, Billy. How cool does
that's
the poster
true?
Look?
How good is the poster? Okay, so I just for what I view the hall as, right? You know, the quality of what we want to put in this hall, you know. I wouldn't vote it through. I will gladly vote Dark Knight through. That's just what I'm going to say as you make your decision. I feel like David probably feels similarly.
You know, I haven't seen Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I've heard great things about it. You know, and I need to go see that. And it's something that I will watch because Seth has suggested The Dark Knight as a hall mom. I will watch Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and I will come back to this, and I will let you know. If I think
I guess
it's worthy or not.
The biggest drawbacks of Scott Pilgrim is the nuance. And if you sit down and you just buy in, I think that it's a better movie than, you know, better movie than we give it credit.
I think of all the people who watched the movie, right, I'm probably above average. I like that movie a lot. It was very good. But I don't think it comes close to what I think the hall represents, if that makes sense.
I think the hall represents badass posters and has a badass poster.
It has a badass poster. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, I'm not going to budge on it. It's one of my favorite movies. So.
Well, as far as just which one do you want to nominate?
I mean, I know which one. I'm going to nominate that one, I guess. I mean, but you know, Dark Knight is cool too.
Oh, so you're nominating Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah. Why not?
All right, well, I vote no, as you know. David?
I will vote no for now, but I'm going to go watch it. I mean, I feel like, can we wait on this one, maybe, so I can watch it? Because I'd like to be able to watch these things or play these things before I make a decision.
Well, okay, here's what we'll do, okay? So we're going to do the halfway show in end of June.
And we'll return to
I imagine Dave will have watched it by then, right?
Yeah,
I don't
know. I'll watch it before then. So I'll wait, and I'll be the deciding vote on this.
Okay, that sounds fair.
So basically we're deferring it to the next big visit of the Hall of Fame, and we'll return to Scott Pilgrim, and I'll make my vote.
I'm not going to lie, Seth. This is better than I thought that you would have gotten for that movie after you mentioned it last night.
Wait, what?
A deferral is probably better than I thought you were going to get. I thought Dave was just going to say no.
Well, I mean, like, it's a great movie. I mean, it's...
I want to be objective.
It's got an aesthetic to it that isn't an...
So, I guess what, should I sing a movie or should I go with a TV show here?
No, your TV show up next.
Breaking Bad.
All right, okay, yeah, okay. Moving on turn. yeah, we don't really need to get into why this...
I mean, go watch the first podcast we made here, one of the first three ones, which was the top 10 Breaking Bad episodes of all time, and it'll pretty much explain why this is a show that's in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Seth, you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if your mic cut out for a second.
It did,
yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about Breaking Bad. I think I can put one and one together.
Yeah, I don't think there's any concern about Breaking Bad being worthy or not. And it's pretty much, it's the best, of all the things we're going to nominate today, Breaking Bad, arguably the best of, and of our consensus opinion, Breaking Bad's going to be the best, probably.
I mean, it's in. And that's what matters. Everything that's in the Hall of Fame is equal. Not really. All
right, so, for my game, I'm choosing something that... got ridiculously good reviews.
I can hear you typing.
By one of
this
my...
is live. We are live,
that's,
folks.
That's Seth.
That's me. I have a game that I want to nominate. All
right. It's a game that got, like I said, unanimously great reviews. It's for when it came out, it was ridiculously expansive and huge. And it's from a game creator who's known for making these awesome, ridiculously huge, expansive games.
It's also one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, it's one of the most... we talked to Dave about this a little bit last night, he guessed it. But it's Fallout 3, and I think one thing to just sum up this game in a nutshell is I don't know how many other games are a post-apocalyptic, you know, nuclear wasteland world as envisioned by people in the 50s, you know? And it's just incredibly unique and creative of the tone it sets, and it's very, you know, a lot of dark humor, very witty game. I like the fact that if you set your intellect... So they have, like, a bunch of stats like strength, intellect, and stamina stuff, whatever. If you turn intellect all the way down... you talk like a caveman, and if you turn it all the way up to 10, all your conversations are you like a genius. So it's actually interesting how one small decision really affects everything in the entire game. You can kind of do whatever you want. I mean, they have great side quests and great main story, but it's such a huge world. You run into things all the time. One of my favorite things of the game was I was just walking around, just exploring the areas, and I ran to this town filled with cannibals. And a bunch of them came out, like guns and stuff, whatever, and like, wow, well, now you know our secret. I guess we can't let you go. And I was like, oh, it's cool, man. I just walked away. And they're like, oh, okay. And they just went back doing their cannibal stuff. And then I came back and killed them all. But, you know, that's just one of those experiences you don't get in most games. And it's my favorite video game I've probably ever played. I'd be like four times.
I mean, the combat's incredible. The scenery. I mean, it's one of the, it's probably the most, I guess, immersive worlds I've been in personally in terms of a video game. One of the more, definitely one of the most memorable ones outside
and
of maybe
I love
Bioshock.
How you can play it, you can play it first person, third person, or you can heavily use the VAT system,
yes,
which I love.
The VAT system's excellent. I mean, it's an excellent system of combat. It's actually fun to play that way, even though it's something that's not necessarily quite as interactive as your standard FPS. But the VAT system is
watching heads explode is just amazing.
Yes, it's awesome. It's one of the most rewarding combat systems I've played with. And, I mean, you got all these other, like, small parts of the world-building experience, such as the Brotherhood of Steel, the – what was the – the name of the like that special group of the Brotherhood, I forgot the name of them, but they're excellent also. You got the the Outcasts, which are awesome. I mean, there's so many awesome things
also,
in this game. There's an alien. You can go get
gun.
An alien gun too. That's stranded in the middle of the desert.
That is the best weapon in the game. But President Eden, you know, he's a giant supercomputer.
Yes, that's awesome too.
Seth, can you play the game?
I've played it. I'm not a big Bethesda guy, but Fallout 3 was one that I really liked just because, you know, it notably sets itself apart from, like, you know, the Elder Scrolls and pretty much that whole franchise. I don't like the Elder Scrolls series, not in the slightest. I don't like Skyrim. But Fallout 3 is a great game, and it's really hard to dispute that. I've played maybe to level 10. I got to the Megaton City, and basically...
So, the first time I ever played this game, this is kind of funny. This game, I did not buy this game on my own. It was only games my mom bought for me or my dad bought for whatever because of good critic reviews, not knowing much about it. I started playing the game. I got out of the vault. I got lost in some school area. It says, if you don't find Megaton, you're kind of screwed. And I just quit the game, and then I came back to it like 2 months later and then just played it straight through. I actually love Skyrim, which is kind of funny. You say, like, I love Skyrim, too. Skyrim,
I know, the difference between Fallout 3 and Skyrim outside, you know, the setting, and you could argue it's just being a reskin, but the difference between the two is I feel like Fallout 3 just has a personality about it.
Yeah.
It's something that I wish more games had. Like, and personality to me is the difference between Unreal Tournament and Borderlands, for instance, I guess. You know, but... people love Skyrim. I don't, but Fallout 3, I'm not going to keep it from the hall. I think it's a great game.
I mean,
oh, and also Three Dog and the radio station.
Yeah,
there are so many great songs in that game.
Yeah. And then, I mean, another aspect of this game that I just really love was the reveal of the world. You're in this vault for about 45 minutes of game time if you take it slow and go through the tutorials and explore around. And you compare, it kind of reminds me of, you know, in Halo, when you're inside of the Pillar of Autumn and you first reveal yourself to, you know, step out into the world of Halo, or in BioShock when you go down through the lighthouse elevator and you come to the world of BioShock. It's just one of the great world of revealing experiences that you step out into the wasteland and you're like, wow, this is going to be a hell of an adventure.
Oh, I also, one thing I just want to add before we move on is I love the way they customize the stats and the different skills you have between, like, science and speech and sneak and mess. You can play it a bunch of different ways, but the way they helped you decide that at the very beginning was you took this, like, test. And the one thing I remember the GOAT, which is, like, the aptitude test, was, like, the question was, like, you were approached by a frenzied vault scientist who says, I'm going to put my quantum harmonizer in your photonic resonation chamber, and what is your response? And it's just, like, that's just kind of, like, the tone the whole game affects the rest of the way.
It's very interesting. It's like a black comedy, you know.
A very
black comedy.
Yeah, this is why I'm going to love Fargo, because this is the kind of stuff I really like. All right, Seth, you're back up with the game.
Okay, this one's a tough one. I've got 4.5 game. Well, it's funny. First off, my first game that I want to nominate probably, and it probably will get in, is Fire Emblem Awakening.
Oh, great game.
When we like to give ourselves the David scale, right? We like to give the A's and B's and C's and D's and whatever. Assuming that A pluses almost never, if ever, happen. Fire Emblem Awakening is an A+. It's a 10.
It is a 10.
And all you need to do is play it to understand. And it's just the kind of game that's so deep, so expansive. And the way you framed the question was like, I thought you were going to mention Awakening. It's a game that's so deep, so expansive. It creates these universes. And, you know, Fire Emblem Awakening is just a great game. And, you know, it's one of the greatest games I've ever played.
For two straight winter, like for 2 years in a row now, during, you know, winter, winter break, whatever, I've played this game. And last time I played it, I, you know, did everything I could, essentially, in leveling and stuff, you know, and also it's got a great story. It has a really diverse set of characters.
Well,
and
it's a game that's fashioned around, and not even in a manipulative way, it's fashioned around making you care about the characters, right? You level them up, you make decisions for them, have them interact, you control them, you know, you're invested in these people, you know, and ultimately when they die, you're sad. When they succeed, you're happy. I mean, it's just really interesting how they fashion this game, and really how all the Fire Emblems, you know, fashion the game into making it really interesting, and what you're doing actually matters, you know.
You also get to play as characters from Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Only if you have the DLC, actually. That's actually the only, because they're not like a, I mean, because, you know, Lucina is in the newest one, but that's, like, the only one, because Martha and Roy are, at that point, but anyways, the one thing I love about this game, too, is the kids in this game.
I thought you got to play as Bowser.
Which is unique from every other Fire Emblem game, is when you pair up your characters, right, which they'll support each other in battle, But if you build up enough relationship between those characters, they'll get married, and then they'll have kids in the future, which are overpowered versions of their parents, essentially, because they get the inherit the skills. So it's a very deep, customizable system you have in place of what you think is the best combination.
And at the harder difficulties, it actually, you know, you need to manipulate that system. It's the only way you'll succeed.
Yeah, I've only played on normal and hard. One of these days I might play Lunatic, but I don't really know how much I'm going to hate myself.
I beat the first three episode, you know, levels on Lunatic, then someone died, and I just kind of got sad and didn't want to play anymore, and it's been 3 months since I've played the game last.
All right, what are the other three games, or three and a half?
Well, I say 3.5 because one of them is Portal. You could technically say Portal 2 is the better rendition of it, but I kind of, because of how short they are, I've only ever played Portal 2 right after playing Portal 1.
Oh, Portal 2 is probably my second favorite game from the Flash, right?
It's just such a unique experience and, you know, really, really fantastic.
Okay, Fire Emblem was a 10, Portal 2 was a 10.2.
Or just the 10, which, you know, given...
Sure.
This other game, I think I would give a 10 after thinking about it. If not a 10, 9.8, 9, whatever. Arkham City.
I love that game. I love the first one. I haven't played City yet.
You could argue that Asylum is the better experience, but I think Arkham City is more challenging. It's, you know, the open world adds a lot of wrinkles. It just handles the open world in a way that other games, I wish they've handled it that way. But it takes everything that's great about Asylum and puts it in an open world, which, you know, is great.
Yeah, the elements of Asylum are definitely better. But Asylum doesn't quite stick to the landing between the Croc battle and the Joker battle. And City just has so much more to the game.
Yeah.
I think that's really a big difference.
And
by not stick the landing, do you mean it spins around and shits itself? Because that's what I thought would happen with the Joker battle.
Yeah, pretty much. You say the same about
Origins. And Asylum, you know, the Scarecrow segments are something that's... I don't think I've played a more immersive feature in any game ever.
The Scarecrow stuff's awesome.
Just because it's, like I said, it's just immersive. You know, you actually are going through that. It's really interesting. Arkham City doesn't have enough of that, I don't think.
But it has the Mr. Freeze boss fight.
And Mr. Freeze boss fight is very creative, very intuitive. The Ra's al Ghul fight is really interesting. The Bane fight's not that interesting. I'm trying to think of who the last boss is. The last boss is Ra's al Ghul, I think. Unimportant.
Oh, no, Ra's al Ghul. No. Ra's al Ghul is the middle-ish, like the second two-thirds into the game section.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. No, the last boss is the Joker. No, the last boss is Clayman.
It's Clayface, who, you know, he acted as he was the Joker, remember, and that's why.
Yeah. And then
I'm confused.
It's not important. The last game I have on this list is Assassin's Creed 2. For much the same reason that I was kind of talking up Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Assassin's Creed 2 is my gateway drug. You know, it's the one that got everything started. You know, what made me want to play games with big immersive worlds. And really, even looking back, Assassin's Creed 2 is the first game to really implement a story of that caliber, to me anyway, you know, where the characters are acted and voiced and, you know, you're actually playing a very, you know, intriguing semi-linear story.
So Assassin's Creed 1 was one of the coolest, like, the, you know, almost like demos I've ever played, because it was very repetitive, you know, in the way that
it was an introduction to a concept. And, you know, if you bought the game, you were buying the potential, I think.
I bought 2 the day it came out. I almost beat it in 3 days, except I got a weird glitch where if you quit out of the game during one of the cutscenes or whatever, you got stuck like right before the last mission. They didn't fix that glitch for a couple months, which really annoyed me. But I love Assassin's Creed 2. I had a couple different things that I wish they went back to. Like, there were, like, different tombs in Assassin's Creed 2 you could explore, you know, like, you're in a
tomb,
whatever.
The tombs, while not necessarily, like, Legend of Zelda levels of, you know, enthralling, that didn't make it any less cool to jump through it and, you know, hop through it.
No, it was my favorite part of any of the Assassin's Creed games. Like, even Tomb Raider, I wish Tomb Raider had more tombs, because... That was, like I said, when you did Assassin's Creed, it was like, this is incredible, and then they kind of went away from that stuff, but 2 is the best Assassin's Creed game.
Can I make a confession, guys? Can I make a confession?
What?
You know how Halo, to you, is your most overappreciated franchise in gaming?
Look,
Assassin's Creed
2
is overappreciated.
Assassin's Creed 2 is not the
That's
franchise.
How I feel about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. No, Assassin's Creed 2, so my opinion...
Look,
2
Assassin's
is the best
Creed
one.
2, the success of 2 is why... There are 7 other Assassin's Creed.
So it's
games.
The Halo 2 of Assassin's Creed, so to speak.
Sort of, but like, it's,
which I've played Assassin's Creed 2. It's excellent.
Okay, so I played every game in that series except for the one that's on the 360 Rogue or whatever, and the PS3 or whatever, but it's 2 is the best one, Brotherhood's the second best one, and then you could make a decision whether you like, you know, Revelations more or 4. Black Flag, but like the first two, I mean 2 and Brotherhood are the best two, and everything kind of took a drop off from there. Cuz even the multiplayer, I'm probably better at Assassin's Creed multiplayer than like any other multiplayer game right now that's not like Guitar Hero or something, but no one plays it.
But yeah, like I said, I think of all those nominees, maybe Fire Emblem Awakening or Portal 2 are the only ones that we surefire put in.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I definitely put in 3 of them, and then I'm not like opposed to City, even though I'd be slightly sad because the other 3 are so great, because I like City a lot. City's a great game. It's one of my 15 best games.
Yeah, and like I said, those are just my suggestions. You know, you don't have to follow up on them.
No, the thing is, it's still your choice. Which one are you nominating is up to you. Like I said,
Awakening we'll still be talking about, so I think Assassin's Creed 2 might be the one that I nominate. Just because, like I said, it's so near and dear. A lot of these games are more recent. Assassin's Creed 2 is, gosh, it's almost 10 years old now, I think.
I was so hoping you choose Portal 2. I love that game so much.
I mean, it's great, but, you know, if there's one thing I take Assassin's Creed 2 over it, it is length. I'm a little sad about how short Portal is.
True. And the thing is, but this is my argument for Portal 2, even though this is your choice. Did you ever do the co-op for Portal 2?
Oh, God, it's so great.
It's the best co-op of any game I've ever played.
It is excellent. I've played that. Assassin's Creed 2. I've played it.
I'm going to have to go with Assassin's Creed 2. I think that, like I said, it's one of the greatest games I've ever played. So is Portal.
Assassin's Creed 2. I love Assassin's Creed 2. I have no problem with it. It's a great, great game.
I say yes.
All right. So, Seth, you are done for the day.
Cool.
Except while we hit the vote. David, you have done a video game and a TV show. What is your movie?
This is tough for me. I was really kind of hoping that Seth was going to go with The Dark Knight because I actually had that as my nominee. But I have two other ones, too, that I'm really, really fascinated to hear what y'all think of it. I got The Dark Knight, Inglorious Bastards, the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Not the best Tarantino, I don't think, but go ahead.
I love that movie, David.
And then I got Tropic Thunder, which I
love. I really love that movie.
Which I love Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder's probably my favorite comedy. Like, I'm not sure. It may not be it, but it might be. It probably is.
But I guess I'll stick to my guns and I'll go with The Dark Knight because we've already discussed a lot of it. I just think it's an incredible film. You got Heath Ledger's performance. You have, you know, Christopher Nolan's probably best directed film. You could argue with that. I mean, I think it's definitely his best directed film, and I think it's kind of where Christopher Nolan's ambition.
But is
and
there
his
a
storytelling
maze, within a maze, David?
Is there a maze within a maze? No, there's no maze within a maze.
Or
a giant pit that Batman has to climb out of. No magical bookcases either. But, I mean, I think it's the point where Christopher Nolan's ambition and his, like, storytelling execution kind of overlap perfectly. And I think that The Dark Knight represents that. And it's probably it's one of the most complete, just total package great films since 2000. So I think that The Dark Knight's a very worthy member of the Hall of Fame.
I say yes.
Well, what about a movie where a guy is trying to track down, you know, Guy Pearce trying to track down a man who killed his wife?
That's actually a really great one, too. I mean, Memento is one of my favorite ones. I just wasn't sure if y'all had actually seen that one, but I'm going to go with The Dark Knight because it's the best Christopher Nolan film.
Oh, no,
admittedly, I haven't, but I really want to. I know it's Nolan's breakout.
And it's also an awesome poster.
Yeah, it's like the picture within a picture within a picture.
Yeah, just like Fallout 3 has an awesome
poster.
That
says so much about Christopher Nolan, doesn't it?
We could probably have, like, a Nolan podcast and, you know, get a lot of mileage out of it, but...
I have a question.
Dark Knight's great.
Is there two magicians in the movie?
The Prestige.
I mean, Christopher Nolan's a magician. A magician who uses a camera.
True. So anyways, I'd say, yeah, all three of your choices are pretty boring in terms of the fact they're such obvious locks.
Yeah, I guess the other
I'm a little jaded on Inglourious Basterds. I don't think that's the best Tarantino one.
No, that's not a nominee. The thing is, like, when we talk about discussion, like, that's not his nominee. I mean, like, Dark Knight, you know, Breaking Bad, and Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Oh, you mean his nominees, not his...
Yeah. The discussion around it is just, like, what you're thinking.
I mean, we're trying to fill the Hall of Fame. That's what we're trying to do, so I'm using great choices.
True. Inglourious Basterds, I don't like one of the acts in it, but that's fine. There's five of them.
I mean, when I made my list of 10 films since 2000 that I would put in, it was The Dark Knight, There Will Be Blood, Inglourious Basterds, Zodiac, Inception, Tropic Thunder, Zero Dark Thirty, The Master, The Social Network, and The Wolf of Wall Street were my 10 movies that I came up on the top of my head of ones I wanted to do. And so I chose the three ones that probably had the best chance of getting in to mention.
I would have put in, like, all of those, pretty much, almost, I think.
Zodiac is probably my favorite David Fincher film, and I know that's kind of... And also Fight Club came out in 1999, so we can't use that.
I know that. I saw that. That made me sad. I love Fight Club. But, all right, I guess last one up for me. You're going to like this, Seth. Probably the season finale of any show that made me the happiest is Friday Night Lights. I mean, series finale. Friday Night Lights series finale is the most rewarding.
It's the kind of thing is that when you talk about the greatest shows ever, Sopranos, The Wire, and Breaking Bad are locks. Mad Men's up there, too. But then there's the second category, and it's the, you know, we'll call it the if you want to get cute category. Friday Night Lights is in that category.
And like I said, the finale is incredible, which most shows don't do, but season one is probably not every episode is not perfect in it, but season one of Friday Night Lights is probably the most singular perfect season of TV I've ever seen in terms of, like, as a whole, the experience is so rewarding, so gratifying, and so incredible. And there's so many different great characters in this show.
Yes, Saracen's great. I like Vince Coach Howard a lot, which is my favorite.
I love Vince Howard. And then
you kind of said Coach Taylor's great. Mrs. Taylor's great.
Mrs. Taylor is probably the best TV mom I've ever seen. Yeah. Connie Britt. She's incredible in that role.
And for whatever reason, I was thinking about, I think I saw the actor, the Dad Garrity.
Oh, yeah, I talk about...
I saw him in something recently, and I'm thinking, wow, that guy was in Friday Night Lights. He was a schmuck there, and he's a schmuck here.
No, it's just such a great show. And
Juan Riggins, of course.
Yeah, obviously, Taylor Kirsch Riggins. And, you know, he had Smash, who was great as well. Smash's mom was phenomenal. And then it's Buddy Garrity, by the way. I was like, is it Bubba? No, it's Buddy. And he's great. But also, I love the movie, too, but the show just does so many great things, and... I'm a big football fan, but it's not just about football. It's about life and family and blah, blah, blah. But The Son, which is the episode in season four, is maybe the best episode of TV I've seen ever outside of Ozymandias.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
And, yeah, it's
Friday Night Lights is great, man. Get on the wagon.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Season two was awful, but it's not their fault. There was a writer's strike.
How many seasons does Friday Night Lights have?
I want to say five. Yeah.
Yeah, it's five, but like... Okay, here's how – it's kind of weird, right? So you had season one on NBC. That was great, but the ratings were low. So season two, not only was there a writer's strike, but there's a weird push for ratings, so it was a weird season. It wasn't that great, honestly, but it was also shorter.
I think season two is the one where – is that the one where Smash takes PEDs and there's, like, a whole arc with that?
No, that's season one.
Okay.
No, that's actually – I like that stuff a lot. It's actually pretty interesting.
No, I thought it was too, and I wasn't sure.
The only really good thing, season two was like Saracen. I don't want to say anything because Dave is going to watch the show at some point, but season two was really bad. But then season three aired on DirecTV first and then NBC. And then season four, it was only on DirecTV. I think season five were only on DirecTV as well. So it's kind of a weird way to watch the show. But, I mean, it was incredible. Like, 1, 3, 4, and 5 are all phenomenal. And, like I said, I knew I'd have Seth's vote, so that was an easy pick.
It's in. Yeah, it's in.
Because it's great. Right. I mean, it's just the best, man.
Well, this is a very strong-looking Hall of Fame, guys.
All right, so go over everything from the historical standpoint. We have Parks and Rec, Smash Bros. Melee, Fellowship of the Ring, Breaking Bad, Fallout 3, Assassin's Creed 2, Dark Knight, and then Friday Night Lights. And then Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is deferred till the halfway show when Dave had seen the movie. And then for 2014, we said True Detective and Game of Thrones in the second place, with Dragon Age Inquisition with Blasphemy and other things consideration. And, we'll do, sometime soon we'll need to do the, I guess end of June we'll do, like, the halfway point, what was the best of 2015. I'm sure we'll all agree on Better Call Saul for TV show.
No, I mean, it's not that we're going to agree, it's that it's the best.
Yeah.
And then movie, Mad Max Fury Road.
And by then I might have actually finished Daredevil.
We're asking too much for that one, though. There's no way. But, all right, we spent a lot of time.
And by then, maybe Game of Thrones will have actually done something this season. But, all right,
All right, I'm Billy White.
I'm David Hunter.
I'm Seth Judiak.
See y'all next week, everyone.